for the living among the dead. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And it just reminded me, we are so slow to believe all that was written in the prophets. It's what Jesus said. It was a kind of a rebuke. Slow to believe all that was written. The angels had no doubt he would rise. None. And yet we doubt it so frequently. But yet within every one of us, there is a little undeniable compulsion to look for something. And yet we look in all of the wrong places. I don't know if you're here this morning and you are not yet settled in your mind what you think about Jesus and what you think about the resurrection. But I want to tell you, I am convinced to the bottom of my soul that Jesus is alive today. He is alive. It is a miracle. Yes. Is this usual experience? No, we don't often see people rising from the dead. I understand the doubt. But yet it is a miracle which God intervened into our world and sent his son because we were looking for him in the wrong spot. We were wandering around in graveyards trying to find life. And Jesus had to come and straighten us out. He had to come and get us and draw us to the Lord. So we needed help. We needed to be rescued. And that's what Jesus did. So the fact of the resurrection has been a core tenet of our faith from the very beginning. The disciples, the apostles, never doubted the resurrection. They were eyewitnesses. They saw him alive. And Peter preached this. I forgot to release the children. I'm sorry, I got too excited for looking for Jesus at the right spot. I forgot to tell the kids the right spot to go to. Little people, you may be dismissed. We'd love to have you stay with us, but those of you who need to go downstairs, please feel free. We'll take babies and any little children up to third grade or so. Is that right? Up to kindergarten. See, I'm just so confused, I can't even think. But, okay, somebody knows what's going on. I'm excited because I'm convinced Jesus really rose from the dead, and I want everybody in the room to be convinced of the same fact. This has been the foundation of Christian doctrine from the very beginning of the faith. And it is, without it, our faith is fake. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are in a deep problem. And so just to go back, we accept eyewitness accounts of people who see things that we weren't there to see. Jesus' resurrection happened a long time ago, and I wasn't around. So how can I believe this? What are we basing our faith upon? We're basing our faith upon eyewitness testimonies. And in a court of law, if you have two testimonies, we can receive it. So from the very beginning, Peter's first sermon, his first testimony, he preached this very fact. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and we'll put one in it. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Peter said, "This Jesus God raised up," meaning from the dead, "and of that we are all his witnesses." He said this to the Jews. Peter preached this often. He then went to the Gentiles. And he also said in Acts chapter 10, verses 39 to 41, he spoke this to Cornelius. And he said, "They put to death Jesus by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." There's an eyewitness account of somebody who had supper with Jesus after he rose from the dead. And so this went on. This fundamental teaching of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, the fact of his resurrection, captured Paul's attention so much so that it changed his life. And he went to Corinth to a very pluralistic, polytheistic culture who had many gods and worshipped everything under the sun, including the sun. And he stood on a rock in the Areopagus and he preached to everyone. And this is what he said. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he appointed. And of this we can have assurance by all, to all, by the raising him from the dead. Paul says, we know that he's the man God's chosen because God raised him from the dead. Now they said, you're off your rocker, but we might listen to you another day. I'm begging you, if you have heard this and you just can't believe it, I beg you to believe this. I implore to you on behalf of Jesus Christ, will you be reconciled to God through faith in his Son, whom he chose from before the beginning of time and he sent long ago, 2,000 years, a Jew. Salvation is from the Jews. So Paul preached this. The resurrection is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. The fact of the resurrection is the electricity that keeps the light of the gospel shining bright. Without the resurrection, the lights go out. Without the resurrection, we have no faith. So, no one stated this more clearly than Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read three verses because this is crucial and this is what this day is all about. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul is saying, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I am preaching lies. I am hopeless. I have lied about God. Your faith, if you're believing in something that is not true, is false. And we are still in our sins. So, this is important because all of us have sinned. I have sinned. Saturday, I'm coming home from an elders meeting. It's Saturday. Jesus is dead already. And this guy pulls out in front of me. And I thought evil thoughts about this guy. And it's not funny because here Jesus is dying for my sins and I am so in the flesh that I got angry. Jesus died to pay for all of our sins. If he didn't, I'm in trouble. And you're in trouble because we are all still in our sins. So we have been taught from the foundation of Christianity, and I'm only going to go about 5 minutes longer, so just be patient. Jesus rose from the grave bodily. He physically got up from the grave. Now, why? Why is that so important? Why do we believe this so strongly? Why do we cling to this fact? If he didn't, something is drastically wrong and we're still left in our sins. But what does he accomplish by rising from the dead? Paul points to the fact our biggest problem is sin. We're still in our sins if he didn't rise from the dead. So what does his resurrection accomplish? I mean, we all talk about his death, right? We say we're saved by the death of Christ. But what about the resurrection? What does the resurrection do? Two things in relation to sin. First of all, we have the problem of the penalty of sin, and we have the problem of the power of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Everybody who sins deserves to die. Every one of us who has ever sinned one time deserves to be eternally separated from the Lord. That is the penalty of sin. That penalty must be paid. And 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. So sin also has the power to take your life. So we have two issues. We have a penalty that we cannot pay, and sin is a power that we cannot overcome by ourselves. Now, we say Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, don't we? This is what we believe as Christians. So if we claim that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, how can we know that that payment was good enough? How can we know it was enough? If the wages of sin is death, how can we know his death was good enough? Isn't it in the fact that he rose from the dead? Doesn't that demonstrate that the penalty has fully been paid? That death no longer has authority over Jesus? If we say the penalty has been paid and Jesus has not risen from the dead, then evidently he's still paying it. But if he's paid it, then he's alive. Penalty paid, fully accepted. That's the first thing that Jesus has accomplished by paying the penalty of our sin. Because if there's no resurrection, there's no guarantee that we can know our sins have been paid for. Secondly, the power of sin must be broken. We say Jesus broke the power of sin. And if we claim that Jesus has broken the power over death and over sin, then what is the decisive demonstration that that power is broken? Isn't it if he rises from the dead? If he doesn't rise from the dead, then he's still under the power of sin, and sin isn't broken. And yet if Jesus rose from the dead, then he has clearly demonstrated he has both paid the penalty and he has both achieved power that is greater than death, which amazes me. Because we have a Savior who is risen. And listen to Romans 6, 3 to 4. The reason this is significant is because today is the day that we choose to baptize new believers. Baptism is a picture of what it means to be confessing your sins and realize that you deserve to be buried. That's why submersion is so significant. We deserve to be buried in the ground. Because of all of our sins. So baptism is a confession of sin. And yet, thank the Lord, Jesus does not leave us dead. He grants us new life, and so we are raised. Listen to what Paul wrote. This is a demonstration of the victory over sin and the payment of the penalty of sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We visualize what happens in our souls by an outward demonstration of baptism. And so we have eight people today who want to confess. They know that they are sinners and that they know that Jesus is the one who can save them from their sins. What does it take to be saved? It takes you knowing you're a sinner and being willing to admit it. And it takes you rejoicing in the fact that Jesus can rescue you from the power and the penalty of sin. It is that simple. And will you ask him to do so? Will you surrender your life and say, please, Jesus, save me from my sins? Children can understand this. That's the gospel. Will you accept it? Will you receive it? And I beg you today, if you have never asked Jesus, I don't understand all the details about the resurrection. I don't know how you did it. But would you take away my sin? You heard it in Mary's testimony, didn't you? It's like the weight being released off your shoulders. It's like being freed from your chains. And I would beg you, every person, cry out to Jesus to free you from your sins. And I promise you, based upon Scripture, if you ask him to save you, he will. If you say, Jesus, save me, you will. He will come and answer. And I don't know of any better way to give you that demonstration than to let you just hear it from people who have experienced it. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to have eight folks come and share with you their testimony. We're going to start with, we have six guys here on the front row who are going to share their testimonies and tell you what Jesus has done in their lives. And I'm going to ask Andrew St. Germain if you've heard how Jesus transforms lives. If you have never surrendered your life like Mara just said, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, don't leave today. without grabbing a hold of someone and saying, can you tell me what I need to do to be saved? Don't walk out of this building without knowing that if, like Paul said, if you died, where are you going to go? Because this is an eternal matter. We are all eternal souls, and we will spend our destiny either with the Lord in everlasting joy, or we will spend our soul's existence separated from him, experiencing the full measure of his wrath. And I beg with you, surrender your life to Christ and ask Jesus to save you, and he will. So grab up somebody, ask him if you don't know what to do. And I just pray you call upon the name of Jesus. And then we're going to move on into baptism and do a little singing. So you get to witness these folks as they are figuratively buried and then raised again.